All right, so diving right in to this deep dive. And this one is thanks to you specifically requested that we unpack how a therapist's cultural humility about religion and spirituality actually impacts, your progress in therapy.
It is fascinating.
So.
Yeah, it's really interesting how psychology and religion have been treated as like separate worlds for so long,
Yeah.
but now there's this growing understanding that they're completely intertwined. And honestly, like ignoring that connection could be holding therapy back.
I love that about this research that we're going to be going over in this deep dive.
Yeah.
It doesn't shy away from that connection at all.
Right.
It goes straight to the heart of how therapists approach their clients', faith, their deeply held beliefs.
Absolutely.
And what really blew my mind is that weaving those beliefs into therapy isn't just like a nice idea or like a feel-good thing.
Right.
It leads to better outcomes.
Yeah, we're not just talking about feel-good vibes here.
Yeah.
There's hard data to back this up.
Okay.
This study pulls from a meta-analysis of 46 studies. That's over 3,000 clients.
Okay.
And the results are compelling.
Measurably better.
Yeah.
Give me the numbers.
Okay, so buckle up for overall psychological outcomes. The religiously adapted treatments had a solid effect size of 0.26.
Okay.
But here's where it gets really interesting. When you zero in on religious and spiritual outcomes specifically, that effect size jumps to 0.41.
Wow.
That's what we call a noticeable difference.
So it's not just that clients are feeling better generally.
Right.
Their faith is actually becoming like a more powerful force in their healing.
Exactly.
That's huge. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's define our terms here.
Okay.
When we say religion versus spirituality, what are we talking about?
Yeah, the study lays it out pretty clearly, which is refreshing.
Okay.
They define spirituality as that sense of connection to something bigger than yourself, whatever you consider sacred.
Right.
It's that feeling of awe and belonging.
Okay.
Religion, on the other hand, is more about the structured system of beliefs and practices, often associated with a specific tradition or community.
Right.
So you could be spiritual without being religious without feeling particularly spiritual, or you could embrace both.
Yeah, like you might find a deep sense of peace walking in the woods, but have zero interest in organized religion.
Exactly.
Or you might attend, church or services every week, but struggle to connect with something larger than yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The key for therapists is being culturally humble enough to recognize and respect how these beliefs show up in each person's life without projecting their own personal views.
Okay.
That's where this concept of multicultural orientation,
Okay.
or MCO, comes into play.
So it's not just about being aware of different cultures.
Right.
It's about weaving that
Yeah.
awareness into how you actually approach therapy.
Right. MCO has three main components.
Okay.
First, there's cultural humility, which we'll dig into more shortly.
Okay.
Second, it's about creating actual space in therapy to discuss and incorporate the client's cultural heritage, whatever that may be. And third, it hinges on the therapist's comfort level with these conversations.
Right.
They need to feel at ease navigating potentially sensitive topics.
So it's not just avoiding saying the wrong thing.
Right.
It's about actively seeking to understand and value where the client is coming from.
Exactly. And you mentioned cultural humility as a key part of this.
Yeah.
So think of it as an other-oriented perspective.
Okay.
You approach the client with genuine respect,
Right.
acknowledging you don't have all the answers, and recognizing that their cultural background, including their religious and spiritual beliefs, is a fundamental part of who they are. You're attuned to their unique experience.
It seems like that should be a given in therapy, right?
You would
To
think.
feel like
Oh.
your beliefs are respected and valued.
You would think so, but sadly, it's not always the case.
Right.
Some clients report feeling like their therapist isn't truly supportive of their cultural identity, and that can really damage the whole therapeutic process.
Yeah, it makes sense. How can you open up and be vulnerable if you feel like a core part of you is being dismissed or misunderstood?
That's exactly what this study highlights.
Yeah.
The importance of therapists cultivating genuine cultural humility, especially when it comes to clients' deeply held beliefs.
Okay, so let's get into the study itself. Who were these researchers studying and what did they find?
They worked with 45 clients, all of whom considered their religious or spiritual beliefs central to their identity.
Okay.
And here's the thing, this wasn't a homogeneous group.
Okay.
They had a mix of ethnicities and spiritual
Give
backgrounds.
us some details. I always love the specifics.
They had folks identifying as Black African American, White Euro American, Asian American, and Hispanic, and their religious backgrounds ranged from Christian, Protestant, and Catholic to Muslim and Hindu.
Okay.
The average age was 24, mostly college students, so a pretty diverse group.
Okay, so Did the researchers find that cultural humility actually made a difference?
Here's the headline. Clients who felt their therapists were more culturally humble about their beliefs actually reported better therapy outcomes overall.
Okay.
But, and this is where it gets really fascinating.
Okay.
The impact of cultural humility wasn't the same for everyone.
Okay.
It was amplified by the client's level of religious commitment.
Wait, so how did that work? Explain it to me like I'm five.
Imagine a scale of religious commitment from low to high.
Okay.
For clients on the higher end, the link between their therapist's cultural humility and positive outcomes was much stronger.
Okay.
Basically, the more religious the client, the more impactful their therapist's cultural humility seemed to be. But here's the surprise. For clients on the lower end of that scale, there was basically no relationship.
So if religion wasn't a big part of my life, it wouldn't matter as much if my therapist got my beliefs or not.
That's what this study suggests. Now it's just one piece of the puzzle. More research is always needed.
Of course.
But it does open up some really interesting questions. What is it about strong religious commitment that seems to amplify the effect of cultural humility?
Right.
Why would it matter more for some clients than others?
I'm dying to hear your expert take on this. What could be driving these differences?
Well, there are a few possible explanations, and it's probably a mix of factors.
You know,
one thought is that for people who are deeply religious, their faith is so woven into their identity, their whole way of seeing the world,
right,
that having a therapist who acknowledges and respects that becomes absolutely crucial.
Yeah.
That validation might not be as critical for someone who's less religious, you know?
Yeah, it's like if my faith is a core part of who I am and my therapist brushes it aside, it would feel like they're missing like a huge piece of me.
Exactly.
Like I'd wonder if they even understand me.
Right. But if the therapist shows genuine curiosity about my beliefs, even if they don't personally share them, that builds a much stronger foundation of trust.
Right. It's that feeling of being seen and respected for who you truly are.
And that can be incredibly powerful, especially if you've ever felt judged or marginalized because of your faith.
Of course. Are there other possible explanations for why this connection is so strong?
Another thought is that people with a strong religious commitment simply have more opportunities to integrate their faith into therapy naturally.
Okay.
If they're regularly attending services, reading scriptures, engaging in practices,
yeah,
those experiences naturally become part of what they talk about.
So there's more material to work with, more places where faith and mental health intersect.
Exactly. And a therapist who's culturally humble is more likely to be open to exploring those connections.
So it's like cultural humility acts as this bridge, allowing therapists to connect with their clients on like a deeper level, especially when faith is a big part of the client's life.
That's a great way to put it. It's not about the therapist becoming a religious scholar,
right,
but about creating space for those beliefs to be explored openly and respectfully. And as we said, that can be incredibly healing, especially for someone who's felt misunderstood because of their faith.
Yeah, you don't have to leave your faith at the door when you walk into therapy. It's a part of you and it's welcome.
And for many people, those beliefs are a source of strength and resilience. They provide meaning, purpose, a sense of belonging to something bigger.
Yeah.
When those beliefs are honored and integrated into therapy, it can be incredibly empowering.
This is all so fascinating. I'm starting to see why you get so excited about these nuances.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just about the research findings. It's about what they mean for people's lives.
That's what gets me fired up. These findings have big implications for how we think about therapy.
Let's talk about those implications. What does this all mean for therapists, for clients, for the whole field?
For therapists, it underscores how important it is to truly understand their clients' religious and spiritual beliefs, even if they don't personally share them.
Okay.
It's about being curious, asking open-ended questions, and really listening without judgment.
It all comes back to good communication and active listening. Those are the foundations no matter what.
And it highlights the need for better training on how to effectively integrate religious and spiritual considerations into therapy.
Yeah.
This isn't always emphasized in traditional programs.
What about clients? What should they be thinking about in light of this research?
Don't be afraid to be upfront with your therapist about the role religion or spirituality plays in your life. If it's important to you, bring it to the table. And if you don't feel like your therapist is receptive or understanding, it might be worth exploring other options. You know, it's your therapy journey. You deserve to feel comfortable and understood.
Especially if faith is a big part of your life, finding a therapist who gets that could make a real difference.
Now, it's important to remember every study has its limitations.
Right.
We always have to look at the bigger picture.
Let's talk about those limitations, though. What are some of the caveats we need to keep in mind?
Well, this was a cross-sectional study, meaning they gathered data from participants at one point in time.
Right.
It's hard to definitively say whether the therapist's cultural humility directly caused the better outcomes or if there were other factors at play.
So to really nail down cause and effect, we need more studies that follow people over time.
Exactly. Longitudinal studies give us that clearer picture of how things unfold over time.
What else should we consider?
The sample size, while a decent start, was still relatively small, and we don't have a lot of information about the specific therapy methods used.
So we need larger, more diverse samples and more insight into the actual nuts and bolts of the therapy process.
Exactly. That helps us see how cultural humility might play out in different approaches and with different clients.
The research is always evolving.
That's what makes it so exciting. Each study adds a new piece to the puzzle.
Uh-huh.
This one has been particularly thought-provoking. I have to say, what really struck me is that this study focused entirely on the therapist side of things. But what about the client's cultural humility?
Oh.
How might that impact the therapy process?
Whoa. Mind blown. It flips the whole conversation on its head. We've been talking about the therapist needing to meet the client where they are. But shouldn't that go both ways?
Exactly. I think there's a goldmine of untapped potential in understanding how a client's own cultural humility could influence therapy. It's a whole new frontier, and I'm so curious about it.
It's like we're opening a new chapter in the therapy playbook.
Yeah.
So what might that look like in practice? How would a client actually demonstrate cultural humility?
Well, it could start with being open to the therapist's perspective, even if it's different from their own.
Okay.
Recognizing that the therapist brings their own life experiences and biases to the table, just like the client does.
It's that willingness to step outside your own bubble and see the world through someone else's eyes, even if you don't agree with everything they see.
And it might also involve being curious about the therapist's approach, asking about their training and background. It's about approaching therapy as a collaboration, a true partnership where both people are working towards the same goal.
Instead of seeing the therapist as an all-knowing expert, the client becomes an active participant, asking questions, sharing their own insights, and working together to find solutions that really resonate with them.
And being willing to challenge the therapist's assumptions or biases, but in a way that's respectful and constructive.
So not just passively accepting everything the therapist says, but actually advocating for themselves, making sure their voice is heard.
It's about striking that balance between respecting the therapist's expertise and honoring your own inner wisdom.
At the end of the day, it comes down to approaching therapy with a genuine sense of humility on both sides, recognizing that we all have something to learn from each other. The most powerful therapy happens when both people are willing to be open, vulnerable, and authentic.
So well said. It's that shared commitment to growth and understanding that can make therapy truly transformative.
This has been such an incredible deep dive.
Yeah.
I feel like we've only just scratched the surface. There's so much more to explore.
And this research raises some fantastic questions for future study. How do we measure cultural humility in therapists? How do we create better training programs to help therapists cultivate this essential skill? And how do we empower clients to advocate for their needs and find therapists who are truly culturally aligned?
So many exciting avenues to explore. We could do a whole series of deep dives just on this one topic.
Sign me up. But for now, if there's one thing I want our listener to take away from this conversation, it's this.
Drum roll, please.
Cultural humility isn't just some abstract concept. It's a lived experience that can have a profound impact on the effectiveness of therapy. Whether you're a therapist or a client, cultivating this quality of respect, openness, and a willingness to learn can truly make all the difference in your journey of healing and growth. So powerful. I'm getting chills, and that feels like the perfect place to wrap up our deep dive for today. But before we go, I want to leave you, dear listener, with a little something to ponder this study focused on therapists. But how might your own cultural humility be shaping your experiences in therapy? Are you open to learning from your therapist, even if you see things differently? Are you willing to challenge their assumptions in a respectful way? And are you bringing your whole self to the table, including your beliefs, values, and experiences?
Such good food for thought. And remember, finding the right therapist is a journey. It might take a few tries to find the perfect fit, but when you do find that person who truly sees you, hears you, and respects you, it can be such a powerful and healing experience.
So true. And remember, we're always here to support you on that journey. We got tons more deep dives in our archives, all sorts of fascinating explorations of the human experience. So until next time, keep diving deep.